that's really what we're here about, to worship. And so here I am. But it's not to worship me. There were three religious leaders driving down a highway one day. There was a rabbi, a Hindu, and a televangelist. And it was getting late at night, and they were trying to figure out what they were going to do for the night, and they saw a light in a farmhouse, and so they thought they would stop and see if they had anywhere they could sleep. And the farmer said to him, said, "Well, I have room for two," but he said, "Somebody can sleep out in the barn if you want to." And so anyway, immediately the rabbi jumped up and he said, "I'll go out and sleep in the barn." And about an hour later he come back in and he said, "There's a pig out there, I can't stay in the barn." So the Hindu said, "Okay, if you can't stay out there, I can. I'll go out there." So he goes out in the barn and lays down, and about 30, 45 minutes later, he comes back in. He said, "There's a cow out there. Cows are sacred to Hindus. I can't stay out there." So the televangelist says, "Okay," he said, "I can go out there." He said, "You know, and I can stay." He said, "That's not a big deal." So he goes out, and about 20 minutes later, the pig and the cow come into the house. Get it? You know anyone that's selfish? You know anyone that's self-centered? Things are all about them, all about themselves. If you do, then that person needs to break that habit of being selfish and form the habit of becoming generous. Like any habit, when we have the habit of generosity, we look for opportunities to do things for people. And these walls are surrounded with tables and the opportunity to help people with Operation Magi. We have an opportunity Friday night to help First Presbyterian Church serve food to homeless people. And I have to admit that many of you have been there more than I have. But it's a way of being generous. It's a way of showing generosity. No matter how much we have or how little we have, we can be generous. So the first thing I want you to see is God is generous. If we ever hope to live like Him, we're going to have to develop some habits that God has. And we're going to have to develop some habits that came to us through Jesus. And one of those habits is being generous. One of the things, when we talked a little bit about forming habits, and if we've got a bad habit and we look at it and think about it, man, I'd like to get rid of that. How do I do it? And you don't do it for 30 days. But I need to replace that habit with something else. So what do I do? You do what you need to do for 30 days. And that seems to be the period of time that we find and we can change habits. When we have that habit of generosity, I said, we look for opportunities and work. We look for things that we can do. And we realize it doesn't make any difference whether we're Donald Trump and have all the money that you think you'll ever need, or whether a person has what they need to get by on. Because we can be generous with what we have. And when you give a little bit, whether it's your time, your money, your love, it takes a little bit out of you. But that's such a great feeling of satisfaction. The second thing is we choose to do more than we would normally do when we have a habit. Because it's real easy to just go through life and do things and not realize that I'm doing this for a habit and I'm doing this because I want to. But God delights in us when we are willing to do things for other people. And my whole thought and process on generosity is not money. It's time. Stewardship's important. It's love. It's giving yourself. It may be taking somebody to a doctor's appointment. It may be anything like that. What we did is, you know, and we sat down here and we put together a budget, and we're looking at what we want to do for next year. And I don't think God expects people to live on bare bones, although I'm going to tell you, I'm going to use that term bare bones later on. But I don't think he wants us to do that. I think he delights in our willingness to give and our willingness to do things. I think he delights in us doing more than what's expected. And I think he wants that kind of heart from a person. It's not just a financial thing. It's a heart thing. It's what is the innermost part of me am I willing to do and willing to give? You all know people that will not do anything more or do anything at all unless there's something in return. They do it without joy when they do that. They do it without satisfaction. It's not real giving at all. What it is, it's kind of like a paycheck. I'll do this for you, but I expect something in return. And that's not giving when we expect a return. Now, God has promised us certain things, and we're going to close with Luke 6:38. And we're going to close with that verse, but what we become when we expect something in return is we become a purchaser. And that's not what God expects from us. Giving easily can become easy, and it become easier if we have to do it by forming a discipline in our lives. And what's a discipline? Discipline's something we don't like to do. It's something we don't like to get. We don't like to get disciplined. I told you a couple weeks ago, I looked in the mirror and God told me, he said, you're not the one to judge. And that's discipline. That's just exactly what it is. It's being shown something that you don't really want to be shown. But he was right in what he was showing me, and he was right in what my attitude was. We believe that, you know, that we should give, but sometimes we have to start that discipline of giving our time and doing that. And when we realize it, then it becomes a joy. And when a joy becomes a desire becomes a habit. And we look for opportunities. Look at 2 Corinthians 8:2 and 3. What Paul's saying here is he's talking about the Macedonians, and he's saying, while they were being tested by many problems, their extra amount of happiness and their extreme poverty resulted in a surplus of rich generosity. I assure you that they gave what they could afford and even more than they could afford, and they did it voluntarily. So they did it because they wanted to. They were troubled. They were going through some difficult times. But they also realize that there's something more to it than just that. The world has a lot of problems out there today, and you know I'm not a pessimist, but those are things that, but you know, they're out there. And one of the major things that people face today in their lives, I think, is greed. And I came across this, and I want to read it. It's from one of my favorite comedians, George Carlin. He said, actually, this is just a place for my stuff, you know. That's all, a little place for my stuff. That's all I want. That's all you need in life. It's just a little place for your stuff. You know, he said, I can see it on our table. I can see it on your table. Everybody's got a little place for their stuff. This is my stuff. That's your stuff. That'll be his stuff over there. That's all you need in life. A little place for your stuff. That's all your house is. A place to keep your stuff. If you don't have so much stuff, you wouldn't need a house. You could just walk around all the time. A house is just a pile of stuff with a cover on it. And you can see that when you're taking off in an airplane, you look down, you see everybody's got a little stuff. All of the piles of stuff. And when you leave your house, you got to lock it up. You wouldn't want somebody to come in and steal some of your stuff. They always take the good stuff. This is a quote from George Carlin. And they never take, and they never bother you with that crap you're always saving. All they want is the shiny stuff. And that's what your house is. A place to keep your stuff while you go out and get more stuff. Sometimes you got to move. Got to get a bigger house. Why? No room for my stuff anymore. You know, and it's funny, but there are some people so wrapped up in stuff that they lose the joy of really being free to give and free with their time and free with what they have. Paul said in Philippians 4:12, I know the experience of being in need and having more than enough. I have learned the secret to being content in any and every circumstance, whether full or hungry, or whether having plenty or being poor. That's a wonderful lesson for us to learn today. Greedy people are never happy. Greedy people are never happy. Giving people that give out of their heart have joy, and they have peace, and they have love. And those are the things that sometimes we need to stop and think about. It's not wrong to want something. God either created it for us or gave someone the ability to make it. It's not wrong to want a roof over your head. It's not wrong to want a nice car. It's wrong if you get that and something else that you should be doing suffers from that. That's when it becomes wrong. God gave us that ability. And when we have an attitude of gratitude. When we have the attitude that we are so blessed with what we have that we want to give it away, we no longer become greedy people. We no longer become jealous of what someone else has. We all fight against it. The best way to fight a battle like that is just to learn to give. Learn to give of yourself and give of our time. You know, for some people to get up and take a shower, and for some of us to shave and get dressed and come to church on Sunday morning is difficult because they're not here. And I know there's reasons that people aren't here, and don't mistake what I'm saying. And I know that there are things that people have to do. I know there are things that people want to do. I understand that. But God will bless you for taking your time, for getting up this morning and doing something to get here. I firmly believe that. Now, I'm not saying that those that aren't here, anything's wrong, and don't walk out of here and say, well, Gallagher said, because Gallagher didn't say. I know things that people have things to do. I understand that. But I am saying that God will bless you for what you're doing. If you want to develop a generous habit and a generous spirit, spend time around generous people. And they'll teach you how to do that. You know, I mean, we look around here and, you know, and we see, you know, you can look at somebody next to you and you think, wow, they could, you know, they may be more generous than I am. We don't know. There are people here that have served in capacity in this church for 12, 15 years because they wanted to, because they enjoyed it. And they continue to do it because they enjoy it. Ever been to a restaurant where you don't think it's just exactly what you expected? You know, the service wasn't real good. You know, and it really wasn't what you expected. Cindy and I went to a Waffle House up on Route 4 right after we moved. And we were sitting in there, and the service wasn't good. And they weren't that busy, but we looked around, and it was one waitress, one cook, and one guy standing looking at the cook. I'm not exactly sure what he was doing, but he was standing there watching him. And he was doing a really good job of it. And so the waitress comes over, and we got coffee, and, you know, and she was gone taking care of a couple other customers or whatever. And we ended up, you know, getting and drinking our coffee, and she finally comes back over. And then all of a sudden we look down, and she's got this boot on her foot, one like a lot like Linda had. You know, and she's walking around, we're talking to her, and we're laughing with her. We always laugh and talk with waiters and waitresses. But that's a way of giving to them, because, I mean, I wouldn't want to do that. If you've ever waited on tables, it's not a lot of fun. You always got somebody complaining. Sometimes it's us, the customer. But you know, I mean, when it was all said and done, she did a really good job for what, you know, what she had. And so, after, you know, laughing with her and giving her some of our time and taking, you know, filling up the table so nobody else would come in, we gave her a generous tip. You know, and we do that normally. It's not a big deal to us. Now, there are times I don't do that. I don't normally, you know, I mean, I'll leave something, but it may not be what everybody thinks. But we don't mind doing that. Sometimes we make it a point to be generous. If we don't have the habit, we need to force. And if you know, I mean, you may have children that have jobs. And, you know, and we need to teach them that they need to put, you know, 10%, give 10% away. I sound like Dave Ramsey. Put 15% away from retirement and spend the other 75% and spend within your means. That's what a part of what being generous is. Anybody can become a generous person without a great deal of effort. It doesn't take a whole lot. 30 days will do it. 30 days of giving your time, 30 days of giving yourself. There are a lot of people in here that don't need 30 days because they've already got that habit. And God blesses what they do. As I mentioned earlier, we don't have to, you know, we don't have to have a huge financial bag of resources in order to be generous. It can be practiced with any amount. All it takes is a willing heart to give what I feel God wants us to give. There's an interesting message here in Genesis chapter 12. God wants us to give gifts to people. But it's not, you know, all about that. It could be a meal, it could be a handshake, it could be friendship, it could be anything. But what God said to Abraham here is this: leave your land, your family, and your father's household for the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name respected, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Those who curse you, I will curse. And all the families of the earth will be blessed because of you. God didn't just say to Abraham, I will bless you. But he's telling Abraham, you go out and bless somebody else. That's what I think, that's what he's trying to communicate to him. As George, you know, Carlin said, you know, and he was talking about stuff. And the thought that went through my mind is, do we possess our possessions or do they possess us? And I thought about that, and that's kind of a question I ask myself. God's a giver, and if we want to enjoy life, we've got to learn to become like him. It's a huge difference between a person who occasionally gives and a giver. A person who usually, you know, is just, you know, occasionally gives, does something, you know, when they want to. But to the giver, it becomes a habit. And it becomes who you are. It becomes what you're made of. I used to stop and think about, okay, is a tithe pre-tax, post-tax? I won't ask you to raise your hand, but I'm sure we've all had that conversation. Do I take that 10% out? And then you stop and think, and I'll tell you a secret that you probably already know. Tithing is an Old Testament concept. Grace is a New Testament concept. And for the majority of people, grace is not 10%. And that may, you know, may think about that and think, wow, you know, what's he talking about? He's talking about how much Jesus did for us. And in Malachi 3:10 says, take, you know, 10% into the storehouse. But when we wrestle with what God wants us to do, is it 10? Is it 8? Is it 15? I don't know. But that's what it's all about. So let's take a minute and look at 2016. We're going to share some things with you a little bit later. But the finance committee met, and we formed a budget. And it was approved by the Ad Council. and we determined really what we wanted to do for 2016. And I told you, God doesn't want us to live on bare bones, but Wes said in that, this is a bare bones budget. And it really is. And we're going to give you some information in a few minutes about that. It was established to do ministries on Sundays. It's established to do ministries on Thursday. No special services and special things that we do. I told you that mentioned to you that you're invited to the community Thanksgiving service. I volunteered to host that here next year. So, you know, I think that'd be good. Let people come in and see what we've got. See how friendly we are. See how generous we are. See how giving we are. We're creatures of habit, and we need to learn to break bad habits. We need to, you know, and I'm not saying that we've got bad habits, but there's probably something out there, and it may not be a giving issue. It just may be a habit that you're wanting to break. What's God want me to do? What's God want me to do personally? What's God want me to do in my family? How does God want me to live? How does God want people to see me? And that's part of being a heart thing. Starting next Sunday, it's going to be Advent. And we have an opportunity to rejoice again in the birth of Jesus and to stop and think what he did for our lives. 1 Corinthians 5:15 says, he died for the sake of all, so that those who are alive should live not for themselves, but for the one who died for them and was raised. That's the good news. That's the really great news that God has for us, that Jesus died for us. And I mentioned Luke 6:30. The New Living Bible says, give and you will receive, your gift will return to you in full. Pressed down, shaken together to make room for more. Running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. And I think it's interesting there because the King James says, men will give back to you. God will already bless you. But in addition to God blessing you, men will give back to you because what you do for men. And I saw that and I thought, wow, that's amazing. Finally hit me what that's all about. So we're going to be receiving your pledge cards today, and we sent those out and hopefully you got them. If you didn't, take the back of your sermon notes and just write down your name and what you're willing to help us do for next year. It's a time of planning, and we have big goals and big aspirations and things that we want to accomplish. Not for us. I mean, you look around, what more could we do for ourselves? But it's what we can do for others. So if you've got your pledge card, and I've got mine up here, I would ask you to take a look at that. And take a look at what the amount is on it and say to myself, can I add 10% to that? Can I do another 10%? Now, I'm not asking you to do that without setting the example. I already did it. But think about it. And we're going to sing the last hymn. And we're going to give you an opportunity to come up and lay your pledge cards on the altar. Again, like I said, if you don't have one or you forgot to bring it, write on the back of your sermon notes, pull a visitor's card out and write it on a visitor's card. And we don't care how you do it. We're just trusting God that he is going to provide. And he has. You're a generous bunch of people. There's a lot of churches we could have went to that would not have been near as generous as this church is. Generous not only to each other, to the community, but to us. We appreciate it.